This is FEMA Business Angel Podcast,
your go-to destination if you're a business angel or would like to get into angel investing and don't know where to start.
Or if you just want to find out how we tick. We're Tina and Katja, both business angels from Berlin. Well, I'm a VC now. We will interview established FEMA business angels about how they got started and how it is going, including all the best tips and tricks.
So get ready for some insider stories and personal empowering moments and revelations with these incredible women.
Welcome to this journey with us.
Hi, welcome to Female Business Angels Podcast. This is our first episode. And before we start interviewing other people, all these amazing women, we promise you we will be having here in the podcast studio, we decided to interview ourselves. We thought it would be nice to set a bit of a context so you would know who we are, and we hope you'll find our stories inspiring. So in this episode, I'll start interviewing Tina, my podcast partner. Hi, Tina. Good to have you here.
Hi, Katja.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You've recently been in the startup press, all over the startup press. So what's going on? Who you are? What do you do? How did you get to your current situation, professional situation? Go ahead.
So I started my professional career as a math student and then in a pretty dead-end job for 1 year, and then actually did a business degree at 1 year, two locations, really cool little mini MBA, and then joined strategy consulting like most people did in the 2000s that didn't know what to do with themselves. And that was in London, and I worked mainly on due diligence in the private equity sector. I was probably the only person that actually liked doing that, but I think that's where I first got my deal kick. So I really just liked working on deals. And
You were like 26 and you were doing multi-million deals? Or how was your day to day?
Oh, well, that was just like a consulting job. I was like the analyst, like really checking market assumption, interviewing car dealerships, I don't know, whatever, to validate market assumptions. And I did that for 4 years. So by the end of that, I was more like running the teams.
But you would advise partners then to go for a deal or not?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. That was really fun. But most of all, I was one of the few people that really enjoyed doing these kind of projects. But I think that was because I just really like the sort of high pressure deal situation. I'm kind of an on or off person. So
I understand that.
Yeah, that was probably the first like...
Can totally relate to it.
Deal kick. And then I wanted to move home to Berlin, and... it was 2010, so there were really only like eBay, Rocket and Axel Springer as employers, or Deutsche Bahn, which kind of wasn't an option for me.
That's true. Remember that.
Yeah. And so I ended up at Axel Springer because they gave me this really amazing opportunity to run the paid content unit, or set up the paid content unit of Bild Zeitung, which is a tabloid. Not my proudest moment, but one of the biggest newspapers in the world. So that was a really amazing challenge. Especially because I had done a few projects around disaggregation of content online in the music space. And yeah, I was just so interested in it. And I saw such huge change in that area. So I did that for a while and was a product manager in innovation. I call it a innovation Springer at Springer. And like just jumping from one innovation project to the next at Axel Springer. And then I got sick for a while, also stress-related a little bit. And when I came back, I joined Axel Springer Plug and Play. And
which was like a chilled job,
it wasn't at all.
9 to 5, take it easy.
we kind of said, oh, this is a nice area, way to come back, zoom back in, especially because I knew the people that were running it, Jörg Reimbold, that probably a lot of the German listeners here will know, and in particular, and he was really happy to have me. So, so that was a really amazing journey there, because I managed to be in touch at least with about 100 companies. We accelerated 100 companies in total in the accelerator. The most
in a period of like 2 years' time, five years?
No. The accelerator was active for, I think, 7 years, but I don't want to be saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Maybe
but
it was still, just
it's,
6 years.
It's a good pace.
Yeah. So it was pretty busy, lots of events, etc. And then, but there I really had got the chance to, accompany a lot of the companies. So learn a lot about what founders are, who they are, how they tick, what makes companies fail, what can make them successful. And just, I have a really, I sometimes say, maybe I'm not the best, but I have a really big sample size.
So you're definitely a mathematician
yeah. way of defining experience.
So you have the right patterns in your head, yeah. like the mind map.
Yeah, exactly. So amongst others, N26. So that was also a real privilege to be able to accompany that journey.
And it was really fun when we met. You told me, okay, that was like one of the first companies that is a well-known like unicorn right now, and that they actually started as a bank account for kids, and that they were called Papaya.
Yeah.
So I guess we will be talking a lot about pivots and also our team versus idea. And all the changes that are happening to a startup in the early years.
Yeah, I mean, doing that experience, I think one of the things that we learned from this huge sample set was that in the very early stage, it's founder plus market, the product can be changed. And that's really basically also one of the main messages that I would have for all aspiring investors or investors here, and everyone will agree that it's really about just getting super inspiring people into markets where things are happening. And if they surround themselves by the right people and iterate fast, they will get to a good product that will potentially build a successful company.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So then I had a kid. And that's how I started angel investing was when I had a kid and didn't want to go back into the accelerator full time. Because there were so many events, and I just said, like, listen, I wanted to do some consulting because it was like little time, lots of money, which is amazing when you have a small child at home and really flexible. And
the shift of priorities.
Yeah, totally. Mm. So, and it was such a good thing to do. And I would actually totally recommend doing that if your job that you are in doesn't lend yourself to maintaining your family in the way that you want to. It's a really cool thing to do because, for me, it was also like entrepreneurial experience in a way. It's kind of a little pathetic compared to all the startups, but it was kind of a lot more self-responsibility, I guess.
Getting into consulting, to organize yourself better. And
And
so I'm in that stage right now.
Exactly.
Although our kids are the same age, so.
And it's great because it buys you time also. I think a lot of people see taking time out. So the way I approach taking time out for spending time with my family really as like a sabbatical. You know, people like travel the world to get fresh input, but like how are you going to get more fresh input in your life than when you suddenly have to take care of a small human being that you love more than anything in the world, which is like, is totally absurd. So like if people are into it, like the things people do get to get fresh input in life, this is the best fresh input. So, and I really like, I kind of realized that and I was like, I just want to embrace this and try to learn from it and take the time to do that.
It's definitely a reset moment.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And one of the things that I did while I was on maternity leave is I did a Coursera course on.
Wow.
I think it's the most popular Coursera course of all times. It's the machine learning course, the Stanford machine learning course.
Sounds like a very relaxing sabbatical. Yeah.
Child is asleep. Let's do machine learning.
Total detachment from work.
Yeah, completely. No, it was actually. Then angel investing happened because I started just doing part-time at the accelerator and just really wanted to get more skin in the game on what I was doing. And we started not doing so much first investments, but only follow-ons, and just kind of missed doing the other stuff. I interviewed with some VCs to join them, but kind of didn't find the right fit or the right kind of attitude that I was looking for. And so I started angel investing. And then the first bit was by myself. And then my like magic miracle moment happened when I met Giza and Fabiola, who are my absolute heroes and partners in crime. And we founded Auxo. Auxo was a German GmbH, so it's just like a little limited company that we founded together and to angel invest. And we really came together with the idea of, whoa, there's so few female investors. That view is really needed. There's something there, but we don't know what.
Tell me the story. Well, I know the story, but tell our listeners the story how you met your your fellow angels.
Yeah, so
not Charlie's angels, it's Auxa angels.
Yeah,
it used to be angels, now it's a VC. So I think the story is just hilarious. It's so good, very inspiring.
No, well, it's actually something like sometimes you have to trust people. Some people in this world have really amazing instincts, and then you can trust them. I was at an event, and there I met a woman called Kati Ernst, who's fairly well known in Germany. She's a well known entrepreneur. At that stage, she wasn't well known at all. She's
the founder of
Ushi and now Uya. Mm-hmm. And we were at a big network lunch, a breakfast where basically everyone could introduce themselves for 20 seconds. And then the lunch was over. The breakfast was over. It was a bit strange. But, and I introduced myself to the crowd. She introduced herself to the crowd. And after everyone was done with introducing themselves and the event was nearly over, we like ran at each other and we're like, oh, we have to meet. And so we chatted for like maybe 3 minutes maximum, probably not more, and met up for lunch 2 weeks later or so. And another 3 minutes into this meeting, so when this woman knew me really well, full 6 minutes or so, she said, you have to meet Geza. You have to meet my friend Geza. You're made for each other. And she had called Geza already saying like, I'm meeting this woman for lunch and you have to meet each other.
You're just coming as well. Yeah. So she joined our...
So she brought us together and then Geza organized a dinner, also like a women network dinner. So I think message here like, go to women's network.
I think the message is, so there are so many events, especially in the big cities, and now post-COVID, the events are not on Hopin or anymore or on Zoom. So, but sometimes you really feel lazy, like, oh, should I go? Should I not go? I'm tired, like had a long day. But I mean, I can definitely confirm. So go to these events.
You're going crazy on events right now, right?
Right now, yes. Because, well, my daughter's 5 and a half. The events are not on Zoom anymore. I have nothing against Zoom, but a bit tired after like a year and a half a remote experiment we all have behind us. So, and actually I met people who became my colleagues at my previous job at Spotify also at these kind of events, like female networking breakfast. So the same. You would think, okay, well, just should I go there? Or really female networking? But then you meet amazing people and immediately, you know, if the vibe is great and you can continue the conversation, you can do a follow-up like with another meeting or lunch.
Especially curated groups of women for me are always such an amazing source because it's super fun to meet these amazing women. Like, because it's not like just standing around awkwardly networking over nothing. It's like everyone is there on some sort of mission. It's usually incredible women. So it's just,
And they have shared interests. So you immediately have like their
foot
into the door. So you know what to talk
about.
It's
worth going to the ice.
You don't need an icebreaker.
No. So
okay, so you met Geza and Fabiola.
Well, we actually met at a dinner and that Geza organized. And I had met Fabiola on a jury before, but we didn't really make friends at that point. And Geza had actually met Fabiola at postpartum gymnastics course.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's funny. And we ended up in a bar until 4 a.m. with Kati. And the three of us plus Kati, the woman that introduced us. And we all have small kids, so we don't go to bars until 4 a.m. very often. So it was kind of a big moment. And we didn't know at that point because I think it was another 4 or 6 weeks until I met up with Geza and we started talking over lunch. And then I met Geza for lunch and we started talking about the lack of female investors and how there's a market gap. And she wanted to get into angel investing. I'd already done one investment but really wanted to do more and didn't know really how and was a bit lonely because I didn't have any partners in crime. So I think here's the main message, like really get your partners in crime together because it makes everything easier. You see more deals, you have more eyes, better judgment, everything. So I think that's so critical to get your gang together.
So you've got your gang. And that was the beginning of
Auxo.
Magical story.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of Auxo. Maybe why are we called Auxo? So it was a bottle of wine and looking through Greek mythology, and which is probably like the worst place to look if you want to do something kind of remotely feminist because they weren't exactly feminist then. We found Auxo, and Auxo is one of the three daughters of Zeus, and she's responsible for the growth of the plants in the summer. And preparing for the harvest.
I didn't know this time.
Yes. And we added in a creative second X because the original Auxo only has one X. So we'd had the double X for the female factor in it.
So growing plants.
Yeah. So, well, it's
planting
about, yeah.
the seeds and growing
yes.
them.
Nurturing. Yeah. So this was the beginning of AUXO. We decided whatever we're going to do in terms of investing together, we very quickly came to the point that we said there is a market need for us, not just because we're women, but we also had very complementary skill sets. Giza is really a growth expert. Fabiola was in PE. So we actually thought, like, this is so cool. We cover the whole life cycle of a startup,
maybe
private equity.
Knows. Okay.
So that's later stage companies and bigger deals.
We promise to explain all the jargon.
That's true.
If we don't, like, please reach out to us on LinkedIn or Instagram. And yeah.
I'm the worst at it. I like to live in jargon.
Yeah, I tend to too. So yeah. I tend actually to use English words, but since this podcast is in English.
This is really good, actually.
For me, it's really
good. The worst is when you have to speak in German about this stuff. It's horrible. Yeah, so how it continued was that we were pretty sure that there was something about us, something about investing, something about women angle. We didn't quite know how and what. And to be honest, at that stage, the market wasn't ready for a female fund. So we started angel investing with multiple goals. So one goal was that we said, listen, we need to spend time together. It's starting a fund is all about track record. People, the investors want to see that you work together, that you've gone through thick and thin together, and that you're really a team. So we decided to just do angel investments together to build, joint track record and get to know each other. Because, if you build a fund is like 10 years plus commitment. It's not like it's longer than most startups. So
it's not a walk in the park.
So no, it's not
have
a walk
to get along really well. Yeah.
It's not a walk in the park. It's all decision making, joint decision making. So you really need to be sure that you have a way of communicating that you can make decisions very fast in a way that you all feel good about it. And you need to have controversial discussions a lot. So so we said, let's angel invest together as a what we called a personal DD to build joint...
Due diligence.
Yeah, due diligence, sorry. To build a joint track record. But the other thing we said, we really want to find out what kicks us. We kept like, what is it that really kicks us? I think there, and this is something that maybe a lot of women with kids can relate to, was we were so sure that whatever we're going to do, if we're going to do it well, it has to kick us 100%. We have to love it and be excited about it. Because time away from the kids sucks. It's just, that's like the fact. I mean, sometimes it's just the most wonderful thing ever. But mostly, you don't want to not pick up your kid from school and have it cry about it because you did the job that you hate.
Exactly.
So we were like, we were jointly so committed on finding something that 100% kicks us and we would happily give up social life, whatever for it. So, So we came up with three hypotheses. One was companies that have a really healthy cash flow. The other one was female founders. And the third one was some positive impact. And we said, like, if two of the three criteria match, we can do the investment. And with that, we did 14 investments together. And
in 2 years.
In 2 years, yeah. And
just one investment every 2 months. Not bad.
Yeah, it was actually less. It was actually less than 2 years. If we're
being precise. German companies.
No. We also did
Europe.
Something in Sweden.
Yeah.
No, in Finland, in UK, kind of UK plus US. So it wasn't just Germany, but like a lot of Germany. Like, I'm not gonna lie. So we also talked about what kind of fund can we build, and we did a lot of speaking to people around this female subject and what can we do on the female subject. And when we first started out, people were really resisting about it, around it still. And this is, I think, something that's so critical is this element of timing, because when we started out speaking about building a fund, the timing was wrong for the female thing.
It was too early.
It was too early. People weren't ready. People still saw it as like, oh, this feminist subject. And now people see it as, oh, wow, this is really important and it's really a success factor. It's just like an economic necessity and opportunity rather than this.
So the timing does matter.
So much.
Also for building a fund.
So much.
Not
so
only
much.
For building a startup. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a fund is kind of a startup on steroids in a way. So the timing wasn't right. And then we realized one day the timing has changed. And
maybe you've also contributed a bit to that change. Maybe. I think, yeah.
Maybe. So one of the things we did as well while we were doing the angel investment is that we did, we built a network called Evangelistas, which is started as a WhatsApp group to bring together female business angels, because we realized that a lot of the guys have these WhatsApp groups where they send each other deals and we didn't. And so we just started like putting them into WhatsApp chat, and then it became too many. Now it's over 160, and we had some really great dinners and meetups. We need to resume them post-COVID, or maybe even now with COVID, we need to resume them.
So now it's all the results for Slack group, and the requirement to the requirement for being a member is to have at least one angel investment.
Yes.
And so you'll be invited. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you think you're qualified, also reach out to us.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please do.
Don't
please
be shy.
No. And so then the timing changed. And then we had a great mentor, our amazing mentor, Jens Lapinski. He was like, guys, you are so dumb if you don't do this. You have to do it. And we're like, oh, but this issue. He's like, okay, think about it in a certain way. And I think one of the homeworks he gave us was, what is the like clearest, simplest proposition you can think of? And how do you have to build the whole thing in order to achieve this proposition? And we came up with, it's all female. And it has to be really the best deals in Europe. And once we started thinking about it in that way, we realized, okay, we can't do lead investment. We have to do co-investors. Otherwise, we just simply can't get into all the best deals. We're a new fund. We shouldn't get into the best deals, because they should get the best funds into the best deals. So we're like, okay, let's do co-investment. Okay, it has to be a small fund, and everything just went blop, 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 like a domino chain. And we're like, okay, this is it. We have to do it. So we decided to build a co-investment fund, a small fund size, 15 to 20, and just invested really quickly, built an incredible network. We made a decision to approach, in particular, female business women and VCs as LPs, and that worked.
Limited partners.
Yeah, as
people
limited
who invest in the fund.
Exactly. And it worked so well. And I think this is for us, really, it was a beautiful thing, because we talk so much with our companies around timing, and I'd never experienced it for myself, but timing and product market fit with good timing is just like a heavenly place to be.
And probably also the group of mentors and supporters and connectors. So as you've mentioned, Kati, and because that's where the ball got rolling, and Jens also pushing you. So I think it's like your environment is really important, like people you surround yourself with, and they should be in with you.
Yeah, and I think this is another thing actually that is so important to learn and to realize when you do angel investing. It's all about paying it forward. Like, you give before you get. And you have to love giving. Otherwise, you shouldn't do it. And you have to really do it from the right place in your heart, which is a passion for the founders and a passion for the companies and a passion for the innovation and also a passion for the deal making. And then it's just so much fun, and you will make such great positive impacts that then great things happen to you. And this is what happened with us. We put so much time and effort into building the networks that we were then in this position to get all the support back when we needed it. So,
congratulations, to the fund closing, and to also to the amazing PR announcement. And I know that you've already closed your first deals. So to all the female founders out there, if you're searching for really kick-ass investors, it's AUXO, so reach out to them.
Please do.
And go ahead. And there is no better place where you could be. So, and you also connect founders to like bigger VCs.
Yes,
like, who would lead
a lot
around.
Of what we do.
So, that's great.
So Katja, now we want to hear about you.
Let's do it. So I just wanted to summarize your advices, like to the aspiring female, to the aspiring business angels in general. So it was, get your gang.
Yeah.
Find what kicks you.
Yeah.
And give before you get.
Yes. So, or be prepared to give before you get.
Please be prepared.
Yeah. And be patient. To be very patient.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good advice in general for life. And I think as you grow older, you learn to become patient.
Yeah, I think that the last top advice is, don't steal founders' time. Always think founders have so little time. if you take the time, really keep thinking, oh my God, I'm taking so much of the time. What can I give back? I need to give back because I've taken. It's really important to realize that scouting for investment from startups is taking the time, and it's a currency. So then you really have to be like, what can I give back immediately just because I've taken half an hour?
Yeah, I think it's about the ecosystem. And so I'm thinking about it in terms of supporting the whole ecosystem. So if I cannot give or if I cannot help someone, I would make an intro or I would recommend something or I would connect to someone else where I think it's a good fit. So, I mean, I'm a passionate connector and networker in general. I would love to help. And if it's not me, I would love someone else from the ecosystem to help because we should support each other. That's how we grow.
Yeah. But Katya, tell us about you.
Yeah. So about me. So I'm originally from Kiev, from Ukraine. So in case you wondered about my accent. And I moved to Berlin when I was 15 because of my dad's job. He's an engineer and he's still working here at the Bionic company. So high tech stuff. So I guess I was excited for technology when I started to read science fiction when I was like 9 or 10. So my dad had plenty of books and I'm still a bit of a geek and a nerd. So I was also into gaming and ICQ when I was like 12, from 12 to 14. Afterwards, I got interested in clubs and boys and aggressive online skating. So yeah, when I finished, so we moved to Berlin. It was an interesting time. It was 2001, so completely different. It was not the startup hub where everyone would move to, and there were no jobs, nothing. So I knew, okay, I have to do my Abitur, so finish my high school, and I will probably never live in Berlin as an adult. So I will probably have to go to London or Munich, I don't know, Stuttgart, Singapore, you name it, because there were no jobs. So I finished high school. I learned Spanish, inspired by my not really quick, like German learning progress. It took me 1.5 years. It's a difficult language. I learned Spanish because I like the language. I like the people. I made some friends here in Berlin. And I decided to start my studies in Madrid. So I started international business in Madrid for the first 2 years. And for the last 2 years, I went to the south of Germany. And during my studies, all my classmates, they would go to McKinsey, to like private equity, investment banking, like Boston Consulting Group and so on. And I decided to do a full-time internship at EMI Music Publishing.
So I didn't know that.
In Madrid, yeah. So
I helped raising money for them as a consultant.
Oh, wow.
Yes, in 2009. I worked for Guy Hens, putting together the business case that he went to the banks with.
Well, I was there before. The EMI Music.
Not the best private equity deal in the history of time.
No. But the fact was, so I was in publishing, not at the on the label side. We were 12 people in the publishing office making more money than 200 people at a label were doing. So we were doing...
Well, that was the whole business case. That was like the nice thing in the company was all the catalog. The catalog business was incredible.
It's incredible. And it's also, that's when I decided, okay, so I was licensing like songs from the EMI catalog for advertising, for films. And I said, okay, this money-making side is really exciting and also the advertising. So in my second internship, I went to Coca-Cola and I worked in the marketing department here in Berlin, in the center of Berlin. So it was really nice. It was a different world. And fun fact, I worked with a couple of people together whom I later met at Spotify again. So one of them, Martin Richter, who is now running Peloton, he was the marketing director at Spotify. My former boss at Spotify, Stefan Zilch, was working for MySpace. So years later, like fast forwarding, we realized, okay, we were sitting in the same meeting room as a colleagues, or MySpace would come in and pitch, and then I would meet them again. So after doing all these amazing internships, I finished my degree and I went traveling a bit to Mexico. And I remember I was sitting on the beach and thinking like, okay, All my friends have these amazing jobs at Google in Dublin, at McKinsey. They have their contract signed and I'm here. I'm running out of money on my bank account. And also I'm moving back to Madrid to move in with my now husband. And I'm not going to London or Singapore. So I'm making like a wrong move. But then in Madrid, after a couple of months of job hunting, I ended up accepting a job offer from this small, no-name startup, Swedish startup, Spotify. So the job seemed like a logical continuation of my CV. So it was music and advertising. So we were a sales office in Madrid. So we would work with brands and media agencies to monetize Spotify free. So we would advise them on marketing campaigns and they could run these marketing campaigns on Spotify. My parents were shocked. They begged me to go back to Coca-Cola or to hear my music and or to accept another job offer I had like from a pretty well-known affiliate marketing company. And I said, I don't know, this feels right. I just have this gut feeling. Eventually it will get big. It got big. So after 2 years in Madrid, I was offered to relocate to Germany. It was very, very early days. So we started from scratch here. It was building up advertising sales and actually explaining what music streaming is. So no one believed us. People would tell, oh, you know, we have Simfy. It's a startup from Cologne. And we have CDs. We have physical CDs. So we have... we have all these other companies. So, and what is Spotify anyway? Is it like a sports company or
Spotify.
Like what are you trying to sell me? So we would spend the first 2 years explaining music streaming in every single business meeting, and the first four or five years they really passed by like this. So super quick, like very, very exciting time. We worked a lot, and after this time, so I got pregnant. So I also had this inflection point in my life. I became a mom of a little girl. And I went back to work when she was 2.5 months old. So I jumped in as an interim sales director, worked, then took a little maternity leave break again. And when I came back, the company was, it was a post-IPO company. So it was a post-IPO industry giant, more or less. So, and things changed. Like it, we had more processes in place. It was still a great company to work for. Amazing people, amazing mission. But what I realized I was really missing were these early stage startup days I knew from Madrid and also from the first years in Berlin. But I had my own startup at home. So I had my daughter, I had sleepless nights. I had all these like things which you could not predict. And so you know how it is.
Yeah.
And said like, okay, how can I get involved with this startup scene again without, I mean, I'm not like 26 anymore, so I cannot go and work somewhere for
27 now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like over 30s and also I had a baby, so I could not go and work for 80 hours per week like I used to. I mean, with all the traveling and events, it was so much fun, but I was just not in that situation. So then that's how I started to think that I could get involved with the startup scene more on a strategic level, mentoring founders, like giving back about my experience and network, my learnings from the hyperglow stage at Spotify. And actually how my first angel investing happened, that was also really, a random moment. Like it was a hot summer day in August and I had a friend over with his kid. So it was a play date. It was one of these days where you have your a glass of water and the ice cubes are melting because it's so hot. So the kids are playing. And then this friend, whose name is Juan Fleming, so thanks, Juan, he said, you know, there are two colleagues of mine are leaving the company and they are starting their own business. And I said, oh, wow, this sounds cool. I received also a bonus, which I was not expecting to be that high. So I said, I told him, you know what? I always wanted to become an angel investor. And he said, yeah, perfect. I can introduce you to them. So, and he did their pitch as well. So it was like one tagline. And I immediately bought it. So I said, okay, wow, this is like something I really believe in. So I want to meet these guys. And we met in a cafe. We met again for lunch with the whole team. There were three. And I ended up investing. So it was really quick. And then suddenly I was not just a mentor, as an angel investor as well.
Yay. Big moment.
And that's how we met a bit.
Oh, that was that investment. Okay, yeah. No, that's how we met. And I remember we... I think I asked the founder to introduce me to you because he said he had already an investor. Yeah. I think that's how it worked.
And yeah, you were due diligencing.
Yeah.
And then I think I read about you in the press as well. So you were doing like the
So we were like had this crazy press journey right in the beginning. I mean, we had this crazy press journey just this week, but the first. So after we had deployed just for the scene, absolutely peanuts. We got featured really big in the press and we're like, oh, there's something here. There's something, we're onto something. So that's how you started. How's it going and what are you doing? What are your top tips?
It started. How's it going? Yeah, so fast forward 2.5 years. I am now angel investor in 7 startups. Ooh, super cool. So recently...
Actually, let's interject one tip there. You always have to think that over the 2 or 3 years, you need to deploy about 15 companies. There are a lot of people that will say you need to do at least 25 because you just need this. Not everyone succeeds. Most fail.
And for me, from the beginning on, I said, okay, so this is the budget I would otherwise allocate to my MBA or something like that. So for me, it's like a practical MBA. I learned so
That's
much.
That's what I thought. Because we said there, I mean, I think it's a little bit in German, we say schönrechnen, to fake your own calculations. But it's like, I was like, oh, this is a lot of money. And it's like, oh, but I would have spent more on MBA. So it's okay. I'm going to learn. I'm going to take this as a learning journey.
Exactly. Absolutely. So that was also my approach. And to be honest, I don't regret it. So I've learned so much. I met so many amazing people. I mean, we are sitting here and 2 years ago, we were having this lunch like, okay, what about this startup? Yeah, I read about you in the press. So no regrets. It's been great. And I guess my top 3 advices to the aspiring angels would be become part of the ecosystem. Just go to these events, go to these meetups or participate online. That's what I started to do during the lockdown. Make friends with people you really click. And second advice would be to if you are a small strategic angel investor, as I am, if you are not a founder with a multimillion dollar exit, get involved with the startups where you really can help. So because it's about the smart money, so they would really appreciate your knowledge and network and expertise. So you should be really helpful, like hands on. And I guess the third one is the same you've Tina said. So you have to give first before you get. I think the 3 of them are really similar, really like. But so give first, get involved and see where you can really add value and where it makes sense. And this brings me to the latest like angel investing kind of side project I'm having now with my 2 former colleagues, with John Bonten and Axel Bringels. So we joined forces. You said you need a gang. So I totally agree. It's much better to evaluate deals together and to help founders together because no one is a superhuman. So you are good at something and you're not that good at something else. So then get your buddies. And we've formed an angel collective called Spotty Angels. So we're Spotify alums. We've worked together in this hyper-growth stage, and we want to give back now to the startups in consumer tech, creators, and Web3 space. So we are also interested in future of work. It's spottyangels.com, where we have our investment philosophy. So it's pretty narrow, and let's see where it will take us. It's not a VC fund, so it's us helping startups. And
but one of the things that's really great about you, Katja, is that you're coming like in it from the same side that we were. It's like just pure passion for the content and what it is, and just it's just, yeah, you exude the same fun and dedication that we had, which is maybe a bit insane because no one pays you for it. You pay for your own work in a way.
But it's super fun. You get so much back. So you meet all these incredible people, your fellow investors, you meet the founders, you meet people who are, well, surrounding you. And I guess we are all a bit like dreamers and we innovators in, well, or we would love to be. So we would love to change this world for better and drive forward this innovation. And that's what unites us. And I think you can also find friends for life. And it's very cool. So we would like to, we would like to call more women to join the movement.
And, yes. So this is a really call to arms. Come join us. It's so fun. And it's so you do good thing. And and let's make everything more diverse. And you learn. And learn.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Woo.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.